Well, 2009, the Lord said we are to concentrate as a ministry on the development of our faith. And for many people, that may sound like nothing. Oh, yes, faith, I know all about it. But they'll look at all the things that they don't have, and they don't know how to get it. And they have never been able to get it, so that shows you how much they really know about faith. So it's a pretty fantastic and exciting subject. And I know everybody liked last week's message a lot, so praise God. Hallelujah. I had a little something unexpected I had to do this morning. And isn't it amazing, because I usually get my messages at the last minute, that yesterday morning the Lord gave me my message for today. Isn't that something? God in time is everything. Hallelujah. But this morning, what the Lord wants us to take a good look at is in cultivating faith. I'm going to use the word cultivating. And to cultivate faith, it requires patience. Patience. And so the scripture this morning is taken from the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work. How does patience work? We're going to look at this today. How does patience work? What is patience's perfect work? Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Does that sound good? Is this above and beyond, outside of any condition on the earth? It's eternal. It's above. It's more powerful. But of course, like everything in the spiritual realm, it does require understanding. And not just hearing words and saying, oh, yes, I know I need more patience. No, we know that did nothing for us. It's just a frustrating statement made by a frustrated individual who finds that everything in his life is frustrated. So, cultivating faith. In order to have faith and confidence, which I should be able to impart to others, I'm supposed to be able, if I really have it, I should be able to impart it to others. In order to do that, I must deliberately, I'm going to emphasize that word, deliberately cultivate faith. This does not mean I must try to cultivate faith. It doesn't mean I must try to cultivate faith. I have to deliberately cultivate it, not try. What it means to cultivate faith, it means to let go, relax, and become a channel for the power of God that is not my own power. I have to become a channel for the power of God. Then God, he'll do the rest. As long as I am confident, as long as I have faith, good humor, as long as I allow my bodily organs, my brain, to function the way they want to function. And they want to function the way they were created to function. Your bodily functions want to function properly.
Amen.
Your brain wants to work. Not the way it's all been messed up, but it wants to work the way it was created to work. And that means I have to allow my bodily organs to function the way. And that means I trust my nature. I trust my nature and everything that goes with it. I think of all the people who are putting stuff into their system to make their body function. Or to stop their body from functioning. When I distrust, I feel all kinds of distrust inside of me. When I become afraid of what's going to happen, then I begin to control my nature. Think about that. Well, we're really in for it. Oh, I'm going to brace myself. Just think about this. We are so afraid, we are just, we start to try to, we don't usually use those words, but I'm using these words because this is the truth of the matter. We are really setting out to control our own nature. Then I don't trust my nature. And I try to replace all the unconscious functions of my organs by willpower. Yes. You stop and think about it. This is another dynamite message, I'm telling you. And you know what you find out? You find out the willpower is powerless. That's what you find. Let's go back to the scripture. Knowing this. Do we know this? Knowing this. The trying of your faith works patience. Now, if you're in this right trial, you're working patience and not frustration. These are two completely different. Patience has nothing to do with frustration. And every time I say, I got to be patient, I'm working frustration. I am not in a trial that's bringing forth my faith like pure gold, I'm in a trial that is creating greater destruction because I am in frustration. And you just think about that word. If that word patience registers frustration, it's because you understand it incorrectly, or you've just associated frustration with patience. But they are not the same thing. So knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, let patience have her perfect work. There is a perfection that is actually coming out of patience. Faith is perfected and it is cultivated. This is cultivating faith. I cultivate faith through true patience, which in the end it makes me perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. Perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. You know, I just think, as a young person growing up, cramming for the exam, you know, something that everybody probably can identify with, or most people. Anybody that ever tried to pass crammed. You know, my father was a doctor, and he was absolutely against that. You read it, even if you only read it once, he says you go to bed and you get a good night's sleep. You just go into the examination, and your answer will come to you. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. And it crammed, and it crammed, and it crammed. But one day, many, many moons later, I woke up. Cramming jams. It prevents the brain from functioning. You did cover the material. You think you didn't learn it. You didn't cram enough. But the brain remembers. And in a mysterious way, can give you your answer because you are relaxed. The relaxed person, I just came from this, going to a school play two nights in a row this week, Robin Hood. It is really interesting to listen and to watch. I think they said there was about 100 children involved in this. But to listen to the different ones, you know, it wasn't at the Kennedy Center. It was in a school auditorium. But to just observe the different ones and how they said their lines. And those that race through, kind of sweating to get it over, the crammers. And then those so relaxed, just never ever skipped a beat. So relaxed that it just comes and pours out naturally. That's why I could never be in a school play. All my life, I couldn't be in a school play. I finally had, was terrified over one word in a college play. All that fear, all bottled up, that you can't say one word. Couldn't pray one prayer, God bless the president, in the prayer meeting. All of this, years of this. years of a bad approach. But all of a sudden, waking up, finding the truth, and then it's easy. Because every part of you plays and does its own part. And it's not all coming out of myself trying to do it. Because I have so many parts of me all wanting to do their part. And when I get myself involved, no part, all the parts of me can't do their part. But nobody told us that like that. But it took me a good long time to figure it out. And I see that this is so important in the understanding of the cultivation of our faith, because it also allows our minds so freely to give us the right word at the right time, the right encouragement, the right direction. All those people that, I just want a word from God. I just want a word from the Lord. I just want guidance. I want the Lord to show me what I should do. You're all jammed up. The moment you get unjammed, you will know exactly what to do, but you are preventing God from using the part of you that needs to be used to help you with whatever it is that you need. So that you are not wanting, you are entire in all its aspects. Hallelujah. But when I become so distrustful, and I am trying to control my nature, this is what I'm doing. We look at control. We talk about people as control freaks and all this stuff. We don't realize that we are the biggest controller of our own lives. It is not another person. We think we are controlled. No. We have controlled ourselves so that other people can come in with another control, but really we're the main controllers. We need to just face that. Nobody can control like you wanting to control yourself. And the more you want to control yourself, the more you're going to want to control everybody else. So, hallelujah. So, but when I'm so full of distrust. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to get it. I don't know. Will God come through? I don't know. I just can't trust. I just can't trust this. I need something more. Really? I become afraid. And then I'm controlling my own nature the way I have been created to be. Then I don't trust my nature. And I try to replace all the unconscious functions. Do you have any idea how many unconscious, we have more unconscious functions going on than conscious ones. And we're trying to replace these unconscious functions of our organs by the willpower. And I'm trying to replace my natural functions. This is something, because I, about 2 weeks ago, I had a telephone conversation with someone that called for some good counsel. And in the midst of the conversation, the topic of nature was brought up. And the person said, "Nature? I never heard anybody in any church ever talk about nature. It's all the spirit, the spirit, the spirit." Oh, I said, "Well, maybe you never heard anybody talk about it in church, but it sure is talked about in the Bible." So, we cannot try to replace our natural functions by consciously controlling them. Because when I do that, I try to replace God by myself. What does that wonderful scripture mean? We've been fearfully and wonderfully made. We only look at our spirit and we throw the rest of us away? It's no good. It can't do anything for us. We don't need eyes and ears and nose and mouth and arms and legs and toes and hearts and glands. We don't need any of those things, huh? We'd get rid of them. We could just all die today because they don't mean anything. Yes, they do. They're all a part of us. So, I can't replace nature. I can improve my nature, but I cannot replace nature. I can't make muscles, nerves, ligaments, hands, feet, knees. I can't make any of them function. I can't. The Bible speaks about foundation. Building upon a solid foundation. There are foundation layers. And we cannot replace one foundation layer with another. The entire foundation has to be in place. So we need to build upon a foundation. And our faith is built upon a foundation. But our faith doesn't just scrap the whole person to build faith. Every part of us is a foundation layer. And it's all essential to the cultivating of faith. I ask the Lord, I need wisdom. And the Lord says, ask of me, and I'll give liberally. Amen. So I'll come to church because I don't get any answer. So I have to come to church to ask a minister to get wisdom for me. Where is that minister going to get the wisdom? If he's as jammed up as you are, he ain't going to have an answer either. The question is, why can't I get an answer? Why can't I get an answer? Because I've told I can ask for myself. But if I distrust me, how can I trust that anything that's said to me is right? I really can't. I really can't. So, I can't replace nature. When I try this kind of replacement, what God wants is the whole spirit, soul, and body preserved blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. And wants the whole man preserved. He wants the whole person to be in harmony. Your spirit, your soul, and your body all in agreement, in harmony, one with another. That harmony makes for the answer. That harmony creates the answer and brings it out of whatever area it needs to come out of. Very, very important. So if I'm trying to just replace those areas in me that are needed for me to cultivate my faith and to bring forth all the patience that I need, if I try this kind of replacement, I find the new government is worse than the previous one. I'm trying to initiate some kind of new government inside of me. And it's going to be worse than the one I'm trying to get out of. This is a great truth, a very, very great truth. Therefore, when I try to do this kind of things, and this is what you see in so many areas of Christianity, where they go underground, flagellating themselves, beating themselves, doing all this kind of stuff. Crazy stuff. But what happens is, when I try to do this, then my fear increases. My conscious straining to obtain increases, and therefore the danger that I am in actually does increase. I am endangering myself by doing this, and I just strain and strive all the harder. This is not cultivating faith. This is cultivating deep frustration. Jesus says that we can't add one cubit to our nature. Whatever you want to do, you can't do it. But we are trying. We are trying to add a cubit to our nature by being anxious. Now, the Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. For nothing, nothing, nothing. The whole world is being primed for increased anxiety. And is it going to help you? No, it's not going to help you at all. So, this causes us to take hold to such a degree that we can't let go and let God. Now, I know we've all heard that statement for years, let go and let God, but nobody knows how to let go. And so you can get up and preach it and preach it, let go and let God. Hallelujah. Amen. So they got a harder grip on it after they heard that let go and let God. It just got a revved up that tighter hold. What does it mean to let go and let God? Ah, here it is. It means you have more faith in God and His processes. Amen. You have a lot more faith in the whole thing.
Thank you, Lord.
Than you have in yourself, in your own process of hanging on. The more you hang on, you put all your faith in you. So, the essence of cultivation is relaxation. And you see, this is what my father tried to tell me for years. He kept telling me, believe me, you just have a good night's sleep, you forget it all, and you'll be amazed. You will know the answer when you get to the exam. How am I going to know the answer? I need to read it over and over and over, and I need to cram. You'll have the answer, he said. This is how you do it. I know there's differences in intelligence levels of people, but did you ever go to school with one of those people that never had to study? My granddaughter goes to school where they have some kind of sort of this philosophy. Upsets her mother, but now the more that I think of it, they say once you've heard it, you can just recall it. Look at all the people who have never, ever trusted in their God-given ability of recall. They go outside of the function to control memory loss instead of the development of the God-given ability. I wouldn't say I had a photographic memory, but it was always said that one of my grandfathers did. But I can, just with a thought of it, see anything or read a sentence from the page of a book or a Bible. What if I wanted to just cultivate that? This is just a thought that's coming to me. I'm sure it could be cultivated greatly. But instead, we've accepted the idea, he's smart, she's smart, she's not so smart, he's not so smart. Where's the smarts? It's probably in relaxation, which lets everything that God's given us come to the forefront. And is the greatest aid and cultivation of our faith. So the essence of cultivation is relaxation. And we'll use the example of the musician. You're never going to be a great musician by trying so hard. You have to let go and let the music get into you so that you don't play the music and the music plays you. These things are of great, great truth. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit wants to play out the roles of salvation in the earth through you. You cannot play the Holy Spirit. Oh no. You can try to play the Holy Spirit, but then you just have a charade. Lots of charades out there. But the Holy Spirit can bring forth the essence of what your faith is all about, but is going to come through you, and not you using the Holy Spirit. People do not even realize that they are trying to work the Holy Spirit. You can tell when you watch their workup that they're trying to work up the Holy Spirit. But no, the Holy Spirit works through you. The whole you. How many times have we thought, I just thought that. But I didn't want to believe it. Why didn't you want to believe it? Was it you didn't want to believe it? Or was it you didn't want to believe you? And that is a question each man must ask for himself. Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus believed in God, his Father, but he also believed in himself. This is the fully submitted person. It's so important that the cultivation of patience bring in faith. If I'm cultivating faith, I am consciously and patiently allowing my faith to work itself out. The Holy Spirit's working faith out through me and with me and by me. All the promises of God are yea and amen, unto the glory of God by us. So our whole being is involved in the cultivation of our faith. And how important it is for all of us to know and to take a look at what areas of our life we are trying to control that we don't even know that we're not allowing these areas to take charge as they're supposed to. Our body is designed to heal itself. But taking hold and not letting go and letting God prevents my body from getting well. And then I have to go to the doctor and I have to get some form of medication that has all kinds of terrible side effects to start up some part of my body that shut down because I shut it down. And I didn't want to let it get up and running again. I chose some other form to force it to run, but not according to design. Therefore, with side effect. By all means, we believe in the doctor, the medication, anything that's necessary. But the faith walk is to take us into greater and greater levels of finding ourselves perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. For this reason, I come to understand the cultivation process and how important it is to cultivate faith and not just say, well, I have faith now, but I didn't have faith last week and last year or 5 years ago I had faith and now I don't know, I don't have faith today. No. If I don't have faith today, but I had it 5 years ago, I got something in the way. Trying to be a substitute, but there really is no substitute for this wonderful faith, which is the nature of God that works within our entire being. And this is what Jesus came to show us. He came to show us all these things, and Jesus did go away and relax on many occasions. And was there not work to do? Were there not needs? Were there not people that needed to be healed? Should he have taken those times of relaxation? Or shouldn't he? Should he have put himself to the grindstone and kept at it? Then he wouldn't have had anything to give. We have to receive. And we receive in this mode of being relaxed and calm and at peace. This is how we receive. We cannot receive if we are not relaxed. And so if someone needs something, the first thing we have got them, get them to do is just relax. When people are told that they're going to be healed immediately, they let go. And then they get healed. And that's why they get healed. It's not because somebody told them they were going to get healed. It's because they let go. Because they were hanging on for dear life so hard. And that hanging on, let that sickness, disease, or any area of want hang on to. So don't hang on. Because whatever you're hanging on to is going to be hanging around as long as you're hanging on. So let go and get freed and loosed. What things soever you loose on earth, let it go. It will be loosed from heaven. Anything you want to hang on to here, hang on, it'll hang on. Heaven will make sure it hangs on. But if you don't want it to hang around, let go. And we let go by relaxing, becoming patient, and just letting it all work. Holy Spirit, work it out the way he works it out through our whole being. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.